Postcards from Beyond. Written and narrated by Paul Harris. Being human. Being human is not easy. We're all faced with fundamental life concerns, such as basic survival in a gross physical existence, succeeding in relating socially and pursuing happiness and self-fulfillment, as well as coping with the knowledge of our own mortality. When things don't go well, in addition, we feel the dukkha very keenly because we are blessed with very sensitive minds. Our ability to think is what separates us from the rest of the animal kingdom, and we try to co-opt this intellect into finding ways of resolving the problem of suffering. Mostly, however, we humans do not understand the rules that govern how the mind works. We tend to use thinking very inefficiently, and our attempts to resolve problems often only exacerbate them. Finding life in some way or other to be unsatisfactory, we can feel very upset and cling to ideas about how it should all be different. Thus, suffering in the forms of states such as depression, anxiety, and fear remain ubiquitous throughout many people's lives. For the most part, our modern world believes that it is the duty of science to find ways of overcoming such distressing and unwanted mental states. In the belief that consciousness is entirely the outcome of chemical processes, drugs such as antidepressants are routinely prescribed for those suffering depression. These have the effect of dulling the mind to any mental pain and anguish that are being experienced. More recent discoveries in mapping brainwave patterns have led scientists to begin carefully manipulating the brain's chemical functioning in order to turn off painful memories, thus giving apparent respite to the sufferer. While such controls are in force, the mind may well appear to be free of suffering. Take away the controls, however, and the problem soon returns with extremely painful results, because these chemical solutions merely treat the symptoms of the problem rather than the cause. Under the blanket of mental fuzziness caused by antidepressants, the inefficient volitional processes of mind that create and perpetually reinforce the depression are still occurring, multiplying and festering just below the surface level of the conscious mind. In reality, you cannot halt the process of experiencing the results of past action, such as painful memories. At best, you can only delay them. Modern psychology is beginning to appreciate more that chemical intervention, whilst providing temporary relief from symptoms, cannot resolve the underlying cause of suffering. Recognizing that states like depression are the outcome of mismanagement of the mind rather than chemical imbalance, psychologists are encouraging people to accept responsibility for their own mental behavior, and have embraced the concept of mindfulness or choiceless awareness. Individuals learn to recognize and label the current state of their mind, and, having observed what is causing their mental anguish, they can then redirect their energies towards more positive thought processes, which produce calmer states of mind. From the Buddhist perspective, this new approach of mindfulness-based cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, is a welcome development. It's based on a more accurate assessment of the real causes of suffering, that of personal, volitional, mental behavior, rather than merely blaming it on chemical imbalance and relying on medical intervention. Buddhists, however, would also argue that in using only certain parts of the Buddha's training, modern psychology is ignoring other critically important aspects of how mind and body work. It's essential to understand these in order to completely overcome states like depression. As it stands, modern psychology's use of mindfulness only goes as far as controlling inefficient mental behaviour. Not unsurprisingly, it lacks the understanding of how these states can be eradicated forever. It does not have the vision of the Buddha's enlightened mind. Mindfulness is an essential cornerstone of the Buddhist way, but it is only one factor in a comprehensive strategy for overcoming suffering. For instance, in addition to mindfulness, you do need to get your views right about how life works, which includes understanding rebirth and karma. There is, as well, a requirement for a comprehensive insight into transience and conditionality. Whilst one would not generally expect or indeed require branches of learning such as medicine or psychology to endorse such ideas, if someone undertakes mindfulness training without these additional components, then the suffering can never be entirely eradicated. We all appear on this earth from previous existences, with the roots of all our positive and negative tendencies firmly established. These come with an infinite store of past actions that only require the presence of suitable supporting conditions to start producing their effects. Given that these basic characteristics include inefficient mental behaviour such as greed, hatred, and delusion, and are common to all human beings, it means that unhappy external circumstances such as war, terrorism, economic meltdown, and man-made environmental catastrophe are inevitable. The same inevitability applies to the unwanted circumstances of our personal lives, such as the breakup of relationships, financial uncertainty, and physical ailments. Even the circumstances of our birth and the subsequent early life experiences we go through are not random. They are, as it were, chosen for us by our own past action. And it's no coincidence that they exert a powerful influence on the way our lives develop from then on. From the Buddhist point of view, with its mix of painful and pleasant experiences, this brief visit to the human realm can be regarded as the ideal opportunity to learn lessons about how life really works. We're here to learn about what being a human actually feels like, including all the good bits and the bad bits. Our mindfulness, therefore, is aimed at including and accepting the whole spectrum of possible physical and mental experiences and our responses to them. This is why incorporating mundane right view is entirely germane to successfully developing mindfulness. To practice mindfulness requires us to accept the totality of our human condition and to learn to stop resisting the truth of what we find. After all, that is what choiceless awareness means. Many people's psychological stumbling blocks revolve around being unable to accept aspects of their own nature that they are conditioned to believe should not be there. These may be states of mind such as anger, depression, or lust. They may be painful memories of past events, or they may be perceived personal shortcomings and failings. They could even be good qualities they refuse to acknowledge. The prevailing secular notion is that these are abnormal occurrences, and because of the strong tendency to identify them as being part of the self, this means that we mistakenly conclude that we ourselves are abnormal. When we use drugs, or when we seek psychiatric intervention of one sort or another, including CBT-based mindfulness, we are seeking normalization. That's also what the medical professionals seek. They wish to bring us back to what everyone assumes is normal. Whilst recognising that for society to function adequately, its members need to act within a broad spectrum of acceptable behaviour, in Buddhism there is no such thing as normal or abnormal. There is only that which is. If there is anger in the mind, that is the reality of that moment. It could not be different. If you were told as a child by your parents that you were no good, and this conditioning is what now stops you from accomplishing your goals in life, then that is the reality. It could not be different. These situations don't make you abnormal. Quite the reverse. These things are normal for human beings to encounter. That's what being human is like. Understanding the reality of condition-dependent origination eliminates the need to find some first cause for distressing patterns of mind. All that's necessary to overcome the problem is choiceless awareness of the pattern as it arises now. It works like this. In the past, given a certain situation, you responded in a certain way to try to make things different. Given a similar situation now, a similar kind of response arises. Such action now will give rise to similar results in the future, and without sufficient mindfulness, your conditioning will cause you to blindly react in a similar way yet again. It's an endless cyclical process of the same pattern. Trying to unlock depression or anxiety through finding a first beginning in this lifetime is short-sighted, ultimately futile, and actually counterproductive. It tends to reinforce belief in the narrative of me feeling abnormal because of my problem, and therefore strengthens resistance and clinging attachment. The solution and the secret to mindfulness is not to seek a solution. It's what one Buddhist teacher calls the wisdom of no escape. We don't practice mindfulness to eliminate unwanted mental states. We practice mindfulness in order to look at and understand all mental states. Wisdom is the product of observation, not intervention. The great fear, however, for most people is that if you do nothing, then this depression or anxiety and the painful feelings that come with them will remain and you'll be left feeling abnormal forever. This, however, is not true. It's a delusion that misperceives life and constantly misinforms us. States of depression do not last, and the painful feelings do not last. They arise and pass away due to conditions, for that is their nature. With Buddhist mindfulness practice, the overarching aim is to see the three marks of all conditioned things, those of transience, unsatisfactoriness, and non-self, in all component parts of conscious experience. That's why it's so important to be completely open to the totality of what it is to be human. It's the insight wisdom gained that ultimately eliminates states like depression, because the roots of all such mental behaviour are based in ignoring reality and craving for it to be different. When you stop resisting and look directly at the transient, ungraspable and selfless nature of reality, you stop suffering. Seen in this light, one must question the use of antidepressants by serious Buddhist practitioners, because such interventions deepen the tendency to ignore the transient and conditioned nature of the various states of mind that need to be observed. It goes without saying, of course, that if someone is in the grip of an intense depression or psychotic episode, then out of concern for their immediate health and well-being, it's only right and proper to accept the help of medical professionals. If, however, the meditator is routinely using such drugs long term, they need to consider a staged withdrawal, again under the supervision of a medical professional, alongside the development of some form of mindfulness and cognitive behavioural therapy. Over time, the mind will become calm enough and the mindfulness keen enough to let go of the dependency, and then developing insight wisdom becomes possible. Incidentally, CBT is nothing new. Such techniques are already to be found within the Buddha's dispensation. Practicing the formal recollections of the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, recollecting peace, practicing gratitude, reflecting on one's good fortune, or developing the meditations on loving-kindness, compassion, sympathetic joy, and equanimity are all forms of what today we call cognitive behavioral therapy. They are all thought processes that take very positive objects of contemplation and all have the effect of pacifying the troubled mind. Replacing the bad with the good is right effort in the Noble Eightfold Path. Ultimately, through mindfulness, we discover that life as it is right now is beyond both good and bad, and in reality, you are something far beyond labels such as normal and abnormal. Stay with and observe these states you habitually resist and ignore, and you will see for yourself that there is nothing whatsoever you need to do to resolve the problem. Yes, it will feel uncomfortable at first, but the more you intend to simply stay where you are, looking deeply into the true nature of whatever is present, the less those states will obsess and overrun you.